Cut and Run by Ridley Pearson. For Marcel. Prologue. 6 years earlier. The 41st day was their last together. Roland Larson was holed up in a truck stop's payphone, half mad from guarding her round the clock while denied any privacy with her whatsoever. He resorted to calling her on the phone. He had slipped her his cell phone and now dialed his own number to find her breathless as she whispered from her hardened bedroom, the aft cabin of the bus, not 30 yards away.
"I can't stand this," she said.
He found himself aroused by the hoarse, coarse sound of her. 41 days, under every conceivable pressure, and this, the first complaint he had heard from her. "Us, or the situation?" he asked. Hope Stevens had been moved on 3 separate occasions. First, to a wilderness cabin in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, the kind of place Larson could see himself retiring to someday. A lethargic life, so different from the one he lived. Then she was moved to a nearly abandoned Air Force base in Montana, the desolation reminding him of a penitentiary, a place he knew well. And finally, into a private coach, a customized diesel bus that Treasury had confiscated from a forgotten rock band, its interior complete with neon trim lighting and mirrored tables. Painted on 3 sides as a purple and black sunrise, the coach comfortably slept 6 and converted to 3 luxury cabins by day. 3 deputies, including Larson, 2 drivers, and the witness traveled together. One of only a handful of times in the U.S. Marshals Service's long history of witness protection that a moving target policy had been adopted. The last had been aboard a sleeper train in the mid-70s. Ironically, the more attempts made upon her life, the more importance and significance Hope Stevens gained in the eyes of her government.